2024. So I just want to make this video for me and for possible Instagram post for me to express and create some kind of memory of what has been for me 2024, because a lot of things happen, a lot of new things happen, beautiful things, beautiful journeys, beautiful processes started, beautiful processes continued. And yeah, on one side, I want to start this new Golden Seeds situation where I'm going to be talking more directly to all of you instead of like maybe creating a post where I have to write. So maybe it's interesting also for you to, yeah, get to know me more, get to know me in a more direct way. I love to share dance videos because for me it's a way to share my art, share something I do, which I mean, it's not something I do, but it's mainly what I do and what I love doing, which is dance. And I love sharing it. So for me, also sharing myself talking or sharing more my thoughts or my art and my creative thinking in this way is just to keep on doing the same thing. Same as a dance video is something that I put out there just to inspire, just to pick up my voice so that people can, I don't know, listen to it and maybe some words enter and make them think of something, make them feel something, and that's enough. Like if it touches you in any way, I'm happy with that. So I feel like this format for me, it's the same. It's just the same purpose, using different ways. So yeah, it took a while for me to be able to just speak to a camera because I'm not used to. First, I'm not used to speak. Like, yeah, I speak with friends or whatever, but yeah, whoever knows me, I'm not the most like extroverted person. I can get at some points, but yeah, like I'm not that kind of person. And yeah, still in performing, let's say the voice is not something I've explored that much, but I would love to explore more. But yeah, just to say that I'm more used to sharing my art through dancing, and it's kind of the way I've established myself. But I think it's time for new things to happen. I think for what I want to achieve and where I want to go, I need to get uncomfortable. And this is one of the ways. So I have to make this feel more comfortable to me. So that's also what I'm really excited right now of being talking to the camera. So yeah, all of this just to say things about 2024, and also why I'm doing it like this right now. What has happened in 2024? Well, I think it's like there is a before 2024, during 2024, and after 2024. So for me, 2024 is a year I was not expecting at all. It's a year I wish to live before, but I didn't know it would be already in 2024 because it felt too soon to me. So in 2024, I got the opportunity to work with one of my favorite dance companies. And for me, that just felt so exciting and such a great opportunity to grow, to get to know the world by traveling, to get to know how a company works, like a company of this status works, who's the people behind, how everything sustains by itself. So yeah, like first when I got the good news, like of course I was super excited, but when I was starting to realize what was going on, I don't know, I was in school, I was, you know, still not graduating. You know, like for me it was something that I was like, okay, I'm sure I want to leave something like this, but it's going to be more far ahead. But suddenly it's like, okay, it's in 3 months. So my whole world like built down. I've been a person that I've always been working like a ninja. Like somehow I set a goal and I go towards that. So I think for a lot of time I've been working towards this, accomplishing something like this. And it's like, you know, imagine you're working for time for something, and at some point someone gives it to you already, you know. So what's next? That was my thought. Like I've been working and somehow it's what I enjoyed. It's not that I'm like, it's not that I was like, until I don't achieve it, I'm not happy. But the other way around, like what makes me happy is the process, the everything I put into rediscovering myself constantly. But somehow I was aiming for this kind of result, which we can say right now, like being in a company like this. So that was my question, like what's next? What am I building towards now, you know? What am I doing after this year? Because I knew I would have a contract from one day to another date, and after that date I knew I would still be in contact with the company, but I wouldn't like have work just after, you know, that if I have work it might be in the near or further future, but no, it wouldn't be just the contract finish. So yeah, a lot of questions and stress came to me, like what am I doing, is it the right time for me, am I ready, what am I gonna be based after, you know, a lot of stuff. But you know, at some point I was like, look, if you really think of it, if you really think back at what you're doing, at your journey, what took you here, you're ready for this. You feel you're ready for this. So don't take that away from you, because you're ready for this. And I said, okay, I need to define the tools. I need to get something that's gonna make me go through the year with calm, you know. And that something is, one, trust the process. And to trust the process, I need to trust myself. And to do these two things, I need to stay present. I cannot focus my energy in the past. I cannot focus my energy in the future. I need to focus my energy on what's going on right now, because it's what I'm in control of. I don't control the past. I don't control the future. I control the present. Of course, the future, what's to come, it's influenced by what you're doing right now. But in the end, you're living the present. I'm not living the future. So I'm going to focus on what I'm doing right now. And somehow, as I meditated and sat back to think of all of these things, everything slowly but surely it aligned to give me space to plant a seed. So somehow I was able to, through all of these, let's say, bushes and trees and stuff, I found my place, or I created my place to plant a seed of a process. I love to talk about processes because, yeah, I never feel like I get somewhere or like that I'm complete at some point. And I found that space, and there I could calm down and I could do it. And the situation I was in also in the beginning of the year is I was dealing with a knee injury. I was recovering from a knee injury, which I already had in my other knee. So in this case, it was in my left knee and I already had it on my right one. I don't have more knees. And yeah, somehow it wasn't fully recovering. Like, it was taking time. The process felt differently than the other knee. So I was scared. I was, it was Christmas. I was at home in Catalonia and I was trying to rest, but I was getting impatient because I also wanted to have my body ready for the year because I knew it would be super intense. And yeah, it was, as I said, it was a huge opportunity for me. So I didn't want to fuck it up. I didn't want to start and my body not being able to follow everything that is required from me. I you know, somehow you feel like a lot of trust is put on you. Like, they chose you for a reason. Like, they want to have you there and I want to be there, but I'm scared of, or I was scared of not being able to provide, not being able to fulfill my purpose in that new space that I was about to enter. So to start with, like, it was a new start of my life in a different country. I was going to London. I had been in London before, but yeah, in this case I was moving to London. So it's a new start, great opportunity, new people around me, new job or first job, let's say. So a lot of things. And I had this handicap, I didn't know, you know. So my arrival to London was super stressful. Because I was worried. I was really worried. I was crying. I was calling my father, didn't know what to do. I already contacted someone in the company to see if I could see a physio in London, which I could see the physio the first week. And, you know, at some point I was like, you know, I did everything I could for my injury to be safe, to feel safe in my body. Some things I cannot control. Some things I cannot control. Like, I'm in control of having a good warm-up, taking care of the knee, not doing anything too risky, cool down properly, eat properly, take the right vitamins, rest good, everything. I'm in control of all of those things, so I'm gonna take care of all of those things so that my body can perform at its fullest. But if something happens, because I'm not fully recovered, you know, it is what it is, and I will have to work with that. This is also part of being a dancer. We work with our bodies, we're so physical the whole time. It's our instrument. Like, even in musicians, you know, they treat the instrument like, you know, better than their bodies, a lot of musicians. But still the instrument can break or need some adjustments or need some things. It's the same for us. The body is our house, is our temple and our tool to work. So yeah, so I had to go through the first week, and the first week would inform me of how the rest would continue. So I do the first day and my knee can withstand the, you know, the class, the warming up class. But, you know, depending how I plie or how deep I go or how much pressure I put on the knee, I start to feel something already. I start to feel not pain, but, you know, you feel there's something. You feel there's something, and it's that something that you're like, if I push or if I do maybe something, like, something might happen, you know? But luckily nothing happened. The next day I woke up a bit the same. I go to work and everything. And I didn't realize it and the first week ended. So one, I was happy because my knee was okay. And second, I went to see the physio and I could see that there was nothing like really, really serious. And yeah, she did some exercises to relax the muscles around, and I realized I had to, yeah, prioritize the muscles around the knee to protect the knee as well. So somehow I also learned more about how, yeah, to work out and treat my body and pinpoint which weak points I can have, like which are, you know, something that maybe I'm more likely to get injured, to which areas are those, so I can work on those areas to make sure I'm not gonna get injured. So then the time passed, and as the time passed, what happened is that my body was getting stronger and adapting more to the load, to the work that I was presented to. And somehow the knee was responding good. It wasn't perfect, but it was really good. So as this was happening, I was starting to see more light in the end of the tunnel, because to be honest, I was not having the best mental state because of this and all the change in my life at the moment. And yeah, I didn't feel strong. Like, I think as dancers, we attach a lot of our value as humans, as artists, in our body, because we are so connected to our body all the time. We explore or we live through life connected to our body, so that when we feel something is not working, something we cannot use it as we think we should be able to, we get disappointed. We get questions, we have no answers, we cannot do what we're supposed to do. Like, we all have a body, and it's what carries us around all day, all night, 24/7, 365 days a year. But we also use it to work, so we cannot fulfill the work as we want. We cannot fulfill ourselves, because also, you know, the pleasure of just dancing however we want to dance, like, we cannot do that. And yeah, such a big thing. And so yeah, anyway, I was able to dance. But yeah, to go back to the struggle, I was not able to sleep. My sleep quality was fucked up, and that was such a thing. It was really fucked up. I was able just to sleep until 2 or 3 in the morning. 4 was the latest, and then I would wake up and just stay in bed with eyes open or closed, just trying to rest as much as I could, because I was like, if I don't sleep good at night, my body cannot recover as good as I wanted to recover, and it's easier to get injured like that, or yeah, something to happen, or health, whatever. So yeah, so that didn't got fixed until March, somewhere there. So as I was feeling stronger physically, healthier, yeah, and also did my mental work, yeah, I couldn't move on from that. And to go back to how as dancers we attach value to our body, and you know, when something doesn't work properly, we feel less valuable, we feel like we lose sense of identity. I've always had that. Like, when I had the other injury in my other knee, like, I remember you go into such a identity crisis. It's crazy. And I don't know, I think it's important to know that you're a dancer, but first you're an artist, and the art happens in your love of it, on your thinking, on your way of approaching something. And dance or movement your body is the channel, is where you put these things, is where you carry something. It's a vessel of something, but this something exists regardless your body. It doesn't depend on your body to exist. Your body is a car or a truck that is carrying it somewhere, and we choose this kind of transportation to carry these ideas, to carry these inspirations, these sensations, these messages we want to address. And somehow I think as artists we need to, as dancers that are artists, we need to realize that, so that when some things happen, it's like, okay, what can I do? You know, what can I do? Because, for example, I realize through these injuries which is my mission in art, which is my goal. Because it makes you wonder, like, okay, like, what am I trying to do that I cannot do now, for example? Like, how is this injury stopping me from my goal? And then, you know, like the most impulsive answer would be like, it's stopping me from moving, or it's stopping me from improvising, from going to the studio and improvise, or from doing this performance. So then you think of like, okay, this goal or something you want to do in a short term, but what's your vision? What's like, how is this serving your bigger picture? What's your bigger picture? Like, what am I trying to do in this world? How am I contributing? How am I trying to add my little something to make it a better place? So then, you know, I realize I'm using my body for that. And my goal, my purpose is to share value so I can inspire and connect with other people. And to do that, I use dance as it's the art form I feel the most connected to. Is the art form that just resonated the most to me, and somehow I feel like a fish in water. So metaphorical. But it's just part of a bigger picture. So I think it's important to know our bigger picture. And so, yeah, so going back to my year, yeah, I could feel back into myself, back into my body. And yeah, we were rehearsing in London, and yeah, met all the new people, rehearsal director, choreographer, you know, and we started touring, which has been most of my 2024. This involves indeed traveling, thousands of transportation, choosing which clothes you take because you cannot take all the clothes, getting into theaters, performing 1,000 times, not literally, but almost. It involves a lot of things which opened my mind in a lot of ways. It something that I had a lot of for myself was, I knew I was getting somewhere where I would be doing something really specific for 1 year. I was about to do this piece, and I will tour that piece. I toured that piece in 2024, and it has a specific movement style, specific vocabulary. So I knew I would spend a considerably large amount of time around something which I found really interesting, but I knew that is not something that defines me. It's something I appreciate, something I like, and something I wanted to learn more of, but I didn't want to let that something become my default way of moving. So I wanted to continue, carry on my process as a dancer, my practice, my discoveries, and keep that going, you know. And what I didn't want to happen is I didn't want to fight. I didn't want to reject that so I can have my space, or to put my thing out in order to have the other thing instead. Because of course it's my work at the moment, I need to do it properly. And I think I'm proud of how it went, because I think I approached it the best way possible. Because I accepted it with everything. I trained it, I mastered it as good as I could. And something in my mind, because I think it comes from the way I approach dance, I really approach dance with tools. I understand everything I learn as tools. So when someone gives me whatever, like a concept, movement correction in this style, like in ballet, in the ballet bar, in whatever someone can give in dance, I understand it's a tool. And this tool, I can use it and I cannot use it. Like same as a literal tool, like a hammer. I can use it and I cannot use it. Maybe if I need to build, I don't know, a door, I will use the hammer. But maybe if I'm preparing a cheesecake, I'm not gonna use a hammer. I'm gonna use other tools which are more useful for the cheesecake. So depending which tools I have, I can build a door and cook a cheesecake, and I can use different tools for that. But I'm not gonna try to cook a cheesecake with a hammer. It just doesn't make sense. And because this is something that's been really clear to me, like I was able to get all of those tools and work it out in my body as I understood I had other tools in the back of my head or in my notebook that is also there and are equally as valuable. I don't think some tools have more value than others. And then depends which tools do you feel more good using? Where do you find yourself more? Maybe some tools you like them or you think they have purpose or they have potential, but you somehow are not that good at it. Maybe you need to spend a bit more time, and you know, you want to spend time developing it so that they can become tools that you can use more frequent. And maybe some other tools, they come easy, but maybe you're like, but I don't see myself expressing myself through these tools right now. And it's okay, you don't need to deny them. They can keep there, or you can change them to the way you want. But yeah, somehow I love this about dance, that it can become this lab where you can just play with a lot of things. So for me, this understanding of tools was really, really helpful. And because I also love to practice, I was like, okay, but when can I practice? When can I have my space? And if we go back to my knee, I didn't want to force too much. So in the beginning, I was not practicing a lot. I was practicing with my head. I was in my head, I was always discovering, always looking dance related things and, you know, still learning. But physically, I was not trying to push too much. But later on, when I felt more comfortable physically, I was starting to practice more. Like maybe you see a day and you see you have a break here or a break there, or after class or rehearsals or whatever, and we have the studio, whatever, and you invest time into that. And, you know, and I could discover way more things. In this year, I developed something I called Alloy Book, which is a document I have right now is for myself, where I document my practice. Everything I consider, all these tools I was talking about, which I love using, and for me, they build my dance or my understanding of my movement. I put it there. And somehow it's a document which comes because this year we were asked to teach, which is something I was really scared of. I never did it before in such a frequency, let's say. and I didn't feel comfortable doing. I knew it was something I wanted to explore, but somehow it was like jumping into cold water. So once I did it, I loved it. I loved to teach. Somehow it felt like a new art form. Somehow I was like, okay, I'm used to sharing my dance in a performance. I'm used to sharing my dance, in a dance event. Yeah, through Instagram, I can post videos. But right now, I'm teaching. I'm talking. I'm using my dance to share an idea. And yeah, a new world just opened. And because for me, it's always been really, really, really delicate teaching, because somehow you're giving something to people. And for me, the role of a teacher is really important, because I've really realized, you can really realize when you have a really good teacher and how much that can influence you in your life, and how much a bad teacher can also influence you in your life. So yeah, of course I didn't want to be a bad teacher. So yeah, that was something really nice, and it forced me to look back inside of me and see what inside of me I can teach, how I can teach it, which ways can I use, and all of that ended up in this Aloy book that I have right now. And that was beautiful. It was really beautiful. And yeah, I ended up the year, if we go back to this, how this specific way of movement and my way of movement didn't fight, but somehow this specific way of movement could also come into my Aloy book. I ended up the year really proud of my progress in dance, how I spent all the year doing this specific vocabulary and one show, but even though I was doing that, my whole dance grew. Everything in my dance became better, and maybe without me even realizing, like, became even more versatile, which is something I've always been pushing towards, to movement freedom, artistic expression, everything just went up. And I think another aspect is because we were doing the same show during the whole year, just making sure I was recording, because we were doing the same show during the whole year, I was having this goal for myself, like, I don't want to get tired of the show. I want to see how I can find something in every show. I had this question: is it possible to find something in every show, or am I going to get bored of it? Am I going to, feel sick of it and be like, fuck, I want it to end, something I was so much looking forward to. Now maybe I would feel, oh, it's enough. It didn't happen, I have to say. It didn't happen. In the beginning, it has this excitement of the new thing, a fresh thing, you're touring, and, you go to different countries, different theaters, you explore a lot of new things, so you have a lot of new inputs. But then at some point, this becomes more your new reality, so you're more used to it. And that feels nice, because you feel in control. You feel you are established. You feel you know your place, you know your function. The piece feels more natural, so it's nice. But then, of course, it starts to be like, okay, now we've done it sometimes already. What's going on? And I have to say, there's not been two shows the same. Every show is different. And that's something really special, because before going on stage, I had this thought of, like, how is it gonna be this time? And sometimes I was nervous, not because of performing, but because I was like, what am I gonna experience this time? Because the experience you have, even doing the same thing over and over, it changes. Like, you wake up that day differently. Maybe that day you wake up and you feel like, summer is coming, and you're excited to see your friends, which you haven't seen for ages. And this being some kind of excitement for the day. And then in the show, you still have that somehow. And you see how you revisit the piece with this state that you have right now. And it already changes things. And sometimes through it, you can understand more certain parts of the piece. Or when you have some improvisation moments, it goes to certain directions that you didn't go there before. And that's why I think it's really important to accept where you are and work from there instead of pushing yourself to go somewhere where you don't feel like it, like that it feels really far away from you. But to be like, okay, where I am, and from here, go where you want to go. So it's been really exciting. Inside the piece, I was performing a solo, and this solo for me, it taught me a lot about performing, about myself, because this solo was improvised, so, you know, I had space to add more of me. And, you know, you also ask yourself, what of myself do I want to add inside of this solo? And I was used to improvising already. Improvisation has been something that it's been part of my dance and my art since the beginning of everything. So it didn't come new. But of course, inside the piece, also it's put in a place where I'm already quite tired from what happened before. And also the part that continues is not the most easy one. So stamina-wise, it was really demanding. But I still wanted to serve. I still wanted to fulfill that space with my own creative identity. And yeah, somehow it became something really important for me. Because, yeah, whoever knows me can say that I'm quite perfectionist. I'm quite, you know, if I want something that way, I really want it that way, you know. And for me, that way means like I want to give something. I want to be pure. I want to, I want my message to go through. And it's not that I want you to understand something specifically, but I want to reach you, you know. And when I feel I'm not doing that, and I'm not fulfilling myself, I'm not achieving what I want to achieve. So, yeah, so I think that space in the piece, that solo, it's been a research. It's been a research process during the whole year, and it still is now. So that was beautiful. That was beautiful because there I could discover more of my habits. Like, what do I do when I'm tired? Like, which movement patterns I have when I'm tired? What is my technique? How can I manage the energy of the whole solo so that doesn't feel flat? How can I incorporate the feedback that different people are giving me on the solo as I still fulfill my artistic needs or what I want to give myself? So yeah, it's a lot of things to research. And I think something that really helped me is to allow myself to fail. Give me the opportunity, give me space to fail, because I cannot expect to be experimenting with a lot of things, like being in a laboratory experimenting and just expecting that it's gonna work every time how I want it to work, you know. So maybe sometimes I was too ambitious. I was trying to do too much. Maybe I need to do less. Or some days maybe I was doing too less and maybe I need to do more. Or, you know, but I need to see it. I need to take it more as a game and just seeing that there is nothing bad about it. And also, when I go to the theater, I love to see people. I love to see, to connect to humans. That's what I think is beautiful about performing arts, that we are seeing people who are alive. We're not watching a movie, like, which is a recording of something that already happened, which not taking any credit from movies, which I love. But in performing arts, we're having someone right there. So that energy is coming across. So that humanity is something I found beautiful to see on stage. So a lot of times when I see on stage, maybe someone fuck up something, it's not something I care. I don't care that much. I care of if something is reaching to me, if something is arriving. And in that case, I'm like, you know, I know which are my intentions. I know what I want to share. And I'm going to experiment which ways I can find in order to do that. Because, again, it's something I did for a long period of time. So I did a lot of those solos. So you also want to keep it interesting for yourself. You also want to, you know, find something new every time. And yeah, so it was a whole research and learning experience. Yeah, and then maybe reaching more the end of the year is when you start to be more like, you see the end. You see the end is coming bit by bit. And you also start thinking like, okay, again, which I said in the beginning, staying present. Thanks to doing that, thanks to staying present, staying present, it served me to feel myself. It served me to be conscious of what I'm learning, what am I getting, and what's next, what I want to continue learning. For me, dance or my journey has been all the time about learning and making my artistry grow. So when I decided to go to school, to go to university, it's because I want to learn and I want to grow. When I decided to come to this company, it's because I wanted to learn and I wanted to grow. So then the question was like, what's the next step to continue learning? And yeah, and then I saw that I wanted to go to a rep company, because in that year I did a lot of the same, and I loved it. I love how deep you can go into a certain vocabulary, how much you can gain from it as you spend a lot of energy, time and space trying to understand something. But now I feel like I want to go somewhere where I can, let's say, have the opposite. I'm not doing the same thing, but I'm doing a lot of different things. And I want to see how my body reacts to that, how much I can gain from it, to continue adding to this Eloy book I was talking to you. And, you know, because that's because a season starts in September or August, September, and we finish with my company, with this project in January, I knew I had time until then. So I also wanted to explore freelancing. I wanted to explore what it is to decide what you do with your own time, to where do you want to invest your time. And with that, I want to invest more on my personal brand. I want to invest more on who is Eloy Cojal. I want to invest more in exploring my choreography. That's why this year, 2025, I want to create a solo. So if we enter now into 2025 is going to be the year of awakening. 2024, it's been a good dream. A dream we've lived, a dream we've had, and now it's time to wake up from this dream and see how these things from the dream can benefit me and can help me to achieve dreams in reality. So bringing the dreams to the real world. So now it's my own call. I'm going to be calling the things. I'm going to be deciding where I'm going to be, with who I'm going to be, who I'm going to work with, and this is on me. And until September, I'm planning on freelancing, and then I'm planning on joining another company for another season. So this is how the structure looks like for the year 2025. And the main goal is to, of course, continue growing, but in this year, establish my personal brand, Aloy Cojal. So something that I'm taking definitely from 2024 is the Aloy book. The Aloy book that that came to life is something that's gonna come with me for the rest of my journey for sure, because I wanna teach more. So in 2025, I'm gonna be teaching, I'm gonna be sharing more of my voice, and I'm gonna be mastering it. It's gonna be a professional exchanging. It's not gonna be me testing or me trying something, but it's gonna be me being 100% sure of everything that is happening and how it's happening. So in 2024, I somehow researched and found certain foundations which I'm planning to plant this 2025 and start developing. And I'm really excited for that, like, because I found who I am as an artist, which is my place, and how I want to make that grow. And that's something, it's gonna start taking shape and form in 2025. So this was it for this first Golden Seeds episode. I hope this was of some use or some inspiration to you. I'm planning on bringing other people to share their stories and advices on dance, art, and life. So please stay tuned for future podcast. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.